Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
I may have stuck out if I get a text that something's blown up.
Oh, great.
Downstairs, just FYI.
I gotta go, guys. Gotta go. Something's blown up. Oh, it's like okay. The Death Star reactor. We're all gonna fucking die. All right, should we get this party started then?
It's Rob's.
Fucking party started.
All right, here we go. Best threesome ever, episode 37.
In a row?
Brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics. I'm Nick. I don't care who goes. Somebody go.
I'm Austin.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Kevin. That's right. We have not only a sub for Rob, but we have basically two new people today because Yay. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, because, you know, we're at the MSP Comic-Con in St. Paul. And
yeah, Rob couldn't be here because he's LARPing?
LARPing somewhere in Wisconsin, which is, right?
Nerd.
And so Megan was with us for our Geek by Numbers, and Austin was here because he does this Comic-Con. We've been going to this Comic-Con for, fuck, how long?
I think my first one was like, my first one, like, as an attendee was like 96 or 97.
Right.
Yeah. And
so 20-some years ago.
Yeah, I started volunteering in like 2002.
Jesus.
Right. Yeah, I've known Austin
I started coming in like 2002.
I've known Austin for 20-plus years. We've been friends for a long time. So I guess we'll start with Austin. Tell us your nerdiness and a little bit about yourself. Tell the audience anyways. You don't have to tell me. I know.
Well, I guess since we're coming to you from the comic book convention, that's my first point, which is I'm a big comic book nerd. Collected comics more or less since I was like 11 years old. That's my main. I'm an X-Men guy. That's my main geeky passion. But I'm also a huge Star Wars nerd. And
we actually waited in line outside, camped overnight for Star Wars tickets.
Yeah, slept in a tent for Phantom Menace tickets.
We did. Oof. we did.
Yeah. Yeah, got rained on.
Sorry about that.
Star Wars Trivial Pursuit box is still warped on one side from where, like, the water wicked in from the tent because it was raining so hard.
That was good times.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And and I'm a big Simpsons geek, TV geek, movie buff.
You have a couple of other things you write for Gentlemen of Leisure.
Yeah, Gentlemen of Leisure is my website. I write weekly X-Men reviews there. Like three of them right now a week because I'm in the 90s and there's 1,000 X-Men titles. So I write a review for every issue of all the different series. And then I do reviews of Star Wars comics and general kind of Star Wars stuff. Like every time there's a new
general
trailer.
General kind of Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Every time there's a new trailer, I write about that, all that jazz.
Right. Are you still doing... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to pit my podcast.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then I'm also one of the co-hosts of a very special episode, a podcast that reviews very special episodes of TV and movies. And so, like, the time that Gary Coleman almost got molested on Different Strokes, or when Alex P. Keaton freaked out on Speed, those kind of episodes.
You did the Saved by the Bell one for a while, so you're going to revisit the Jesse Spano episode?
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do that. Yeah, before we did a very special episode, we did Saved by the Bell Review, where we reviewed every episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, my God.
Every episode.
Jesus, like, Christ.
Oh, my God.
And we read Dustin Diamond's shitty tell-all book, which is one of the most poorly written books just from a basic, like, punctuation and, like, copy editing standpoint.
I have to read it now. I absolutely have to.
It's hilarious. We did that.
I'm going to die a little, but I don't care.
On Showgirls. All the Miss Bliss episodes.
Oh,
that
man.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do Jesse's song at some point.
Mm.
Jesse's girl.
Because that's Jesse Caffeine Freak Out, which is like the very special episode, but we've already kind of talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Did they have
something else? Oh, they got, Johnny Dakota and the drug episode.
Yeah.
Where he offers Kelly a roach.
Well, instead of doing the Jesse's, instead of talking about the Speed episode, you could talk about the RuPaul's Drag Race from the season where they reenacted that scene from 90210.
Yeah, because my co-hosts are huge RuPaul's Drag Race fans. Like, they have contests and bet pies on it and all kinds of crazy stuff. So that might be the way to go.
Yeah, there you go.
The pie bet would be a good
there's
bet.
Like,
when I'm
crazy
broke.
Pie transactions going on all the time over there.
I love pie.
Yeah.
Especially as a monetary device.
Yeah, they're out in Portland, so I never get any of this pie. Yeah.
They could unfortunate. Ship you one. That would be kind of nasty.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They could.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to pimp or talk about?
No, I think that's good.
Huh? All right. Megan?
Yeah, so I'm Megan. I have known Kevin. Obviously.
I'm an alcoholic. Thank you.
I mean, that does run in my family, but let's get dark. So I've known Kevin since 2007?
Something like that.
10 years?
Something like that,
Holy crap. And I've known Nick and Rob, who has fucked off to Wisconsin. I've known them both since 2012 when I joined the cast of the Renaissance Festival Stocks. That's where I met those two jokers. And I also co-write, co-produce, co-created, co-star, co-everything, basically.
Co-chief.
About to say co-chief.
The Lair, which is the series that you guys have mentioned on the podcast. I don't know how in-depth you guys have gone.
Pretty in-depth.
Pretty.
Which dropped today.
It did. It dropped this morning. And a year's worth of work is now available to view for the public. And I'm kind of crapping my pants.
Right. But by all means, subscribe, because
yes,
the quicker we get the subscribers, the quicker we can get a nicer YouTube page.
Yes.
So.
Right. So, anything else, Megan?
I don't know what nerd I am. I am a lot of different kind of nerds. Yeah.
Now.
I have not read as many comic books as I would have liked. I read a lot of books. I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd.
Nice.
Yes.
And the Wars.
Yes, the Wars. The Stars, both Trek and Wars. Yeah. I can't really think of anything else.
I know,
I mean,
it's like,
just like
it's
a
like
lot
you can
of different...
answer this question anytime until you're actually asked it.
Exactly. Yes.
It's like, exactly. What's your favorite book? I don't know if I've ever read one.
What's a book?
What are books? What are things?
Yeah. Anything you want to pimp? Any,
other
lair,
than
obviously?
The Lair? Not really. I mean, I was on an episode of Digital and Vellum.
You were.
Crystal Show.
You were.
It was a long hour of my life. Not because it was painful, but because we were drinking heavily, very highly alcoholic drinks and talking about a book, and it was really fun.
But I kept coming out of my office and with different props to entertain them.
I was about to say, I think I heard Kevin on that episode quite a bit in the background.
Yes, he was in the background. Fucking with our lighting and
way to be that guy.
I'm totally that guy. I don't care.
Nice.
So
should we move on to the news and all that other stuff? Do you want to? Well, we already start with sad news. And I hate doing that, but
fucking Chris Cornell, son of a bitch.
Right.
And I just saw him live, like at Northern Invasion.
Whoa.
And I was gonna leave before I was in the middle of leaving before Soundgarden came out. I'm like, you know what? I bet they're gonna play one of their better songs first. I'm gonna just nudge back in, see that take off, which I did, and I'm glad I did.
Wow.
Because that was a week later.
Wow, yeah, it sucks. Obviously, he's been a huge writer of a lot of songs.
Like every song from the 90s, he had his hand in.
Right, and then also with Soundgarden, not only that, but Temple of the Dog and other songs.
Audioslave.
Audioslave.
Probably one of my top three favorite Bond songs was from Casino
Bond
Royale.
Song, yep.
Yeah.
Huh. Was that You Know My Name?
I totally forgot about that. And then just like he just, a year ago, he did the Prince, he did Nothing Compares.
Yeah.
Recorded that.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. It's weird.
It makes my heart sad now.
But then if you read the story, though, it sounds like the news story that I read said that he hung himself in his hotel room is what I understand, but that he had talked to his wife prior to that, and his wife was like, he didn't sound sad, he didn't sound upset, he wasn't talking about suicide, anything like that. He said he was tired, and he sounded really groggy, like, and that was...
And happens sadly a lot.
Right. And they were talking about he was taking Nativant, I want to say, which I think, I don't quote me on that. I don't remember which antidepressant medicine he was taking, but apparently, like, he never talked about it, nothing, and all of a sudden it happened. And that's like, I don't know. It's bad. It's sad. And it lost another great music individual to things.
It was very articulate. You should write his You Googly.
Crushing onslaught of destruction.
Right. So that was that, but I think we should move on to more happier news and talk about Star Trek V. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It totally is
right.
Star Trek
yeah,
5.
Yeah, absolutely it was.
Yeah.
I'm watching this, I'm
both,
like, I think I've seen
plot,
this somewhere.
Both in plot and quality.
That would require me to remember Star Trek V.
Most people have forgotten it, but pretty much it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well.
Remember, they go and they find the center of the universe, and God's there, and they
there.
Have to destroy him because he
Why
wants
would
to...
Why God want a starship? And
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
What would God want with a starship? Yeah.
Well, right. the basic plot line that I got out of it was, you know, group goes to place is a little creepy, one person realizes it, the other person is like, oh my God, this is the greatest place ever, and then... shit happens and
right
goes bad to things
oh,
yeah.
We probably should say spoilers, I guess, if you're
Whatever.
Listening to this.
It was basically Anne of Green Gables in space.
A little bit
No, it wasn't.
I don't know Anne of Green Gables well enough to...
Anne of
so
Green.
I don't know who wants to break this down.
I'll start.
Okay.
Rob, brace yourself. I didn't care for it that much. Well, with the caveat, I didn't care for the first act that much. I thought it was trying way too hard. Maybe 40% less Baby Groot, and it would have been a lot better. Drax, stop fucking laughing at everything. It's annoying. They were kind of pushing everyone and I didn't really care for that. Like, I
liked Happy Drax because the first movie he was just kind of this, you know, sullen, revenge bent.
You can be happy, but just chill out on the fucking laughing.
He did laugh a lot. I will give you that. Just, he was very. I'm gonna laugh very obnoxiously loud at everything you say.
And I think that's what it was. It was such an obnoxious laugh. Yes. I really liked his give and take with Mantis. I thought that was enjoyable. Yeah. Yep. I loved basically everything revolving around Gamora, especially the rekindling of the sisterhood with Nebula. Yeah. Enjoyed that.
I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
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 Did Zoe sound different to anybody else, or is it just me?
Thank you. Yes.
She
put
a little bit of
different.
An accent on it.
It wasn't that. It's just her voice was different altogether.
Oh.
Like,
thank you. That was bugging me.
Like, it, and I know she just had a baby, and I don't know if, like, hormones or I don't know. I don't know
how those lady parts work.
No, I mean,
the baby doesn't come out the throat, Nick.
Stretches the vocal cords.
God damn it, I was lied to all these years. I thought it was like, oh, there's a baby.
Oh my God. Women don't upchuck the babies.
It's, like watching, it's in their belly. How else
it's like watching a snake eat a mouse in reverse.
Oh my God. Except more gross.
Oh my, ew.
No, I meant like.
Well, this has been best threesome ever.
It's our final episode. We're gonna get lots of them. No,
I'm dying,
I meant like
over here because I actually know how that stuff works.
I don't like. Did it maybe the like hormones or something affect her voice or affect her? Was she?
That's.
I don't know, but it was like the entire film.
She really did.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. No, I definitely agree. But I loved Ego. I love when he turned into David Hasselhoff. That was pretty great.
That was hilarious.
I love David Hasselhoff.
Chris Pratt was fantastic in it.
Yeah
it just... I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but...
Not that.
What I'm almost worried Deadpool is going to end up doing is taking something that was such a weird sleeper success and try and outdo itself... for all the wrong reasons. Like, Baby Groot to me felt like Frank in Men in Black 2, where he was like this kind of enjoyable short thing.
Yep.
And so they had to fucking shove it down your throat as much as they could.
Phrasing.
Like, I would have much rather watched their fight against that weird squid creature.
Right.
Than Baby Groot dancing.
I disagree.
Me
I think
too.
I think that it, like their fight against the squid monster, if it had taken place later in the film, but since it's right at the beginning, you get this instead of this intense battle scene, you get this little baby tree just, you know, bopping around to Mr. Blue Sky. I thought that was delightful. And
drink.
I very much got sucked in by Baby Groot.
She's even on his mic. I know. It must be the mic.
What?
Am I delightful?
That's what Rob says
delightful.
All the time.
Well, and if you listen to our episode, we have the drinking rule game, and you said delightful, and it's funnier because you're on Rob's mic, so it's funny that you said delightful.
You're welcome,
sorry,
Rob.
Continue.
Keeping
it
the
real.
Hope alive.
Or keeping it real.
But yeah, no, I very much got sucked in by Baby Groot and the laughing Drax. Yeah, I liked it. I really did. I was a little worried about Mantis being a Born Sexy Yesterday character kind of character.
Yeah.
But, like, they did not
do
that.
They handled it very
well. They handled Mantis very well, mm-hmm. I thought. No. And she was not the female Drax, but sort of the female Drax, but not really.
The opposite of...
Yeah, she was kind of the Drax's foil because he doesn't... Not that he doesn't feel, but, like, you know.
Right.
And she feels everything.
But yeah, I was worried about that too. And so the fact that it just ended up being a brave face in the front of something that she was not okay with was much better.
Yes. And she's like not that young, the actress.
Really?
Yeah. I think she's in her 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think.
I'm going to have to IMDb.
Yeah, IMDb that.
double
check me.
We will. Oh, don't worry. We will fact check you.
Fact check me, please. What American politics means.
That's what IMDb is for.
I know.
Right?
Settles arguments. That and Google and Urban Dictionary.
I liked Guardians 2. It wasn't perfect. I would like 40% more Baby Groot. I thought Baby Groot
just
was
a whole movie about Baby Groot.
See, not a whole movie, but like almost a whole movie.
85% of a movie.
Yeah.
See, I would love. I actually wanted more sullen teenage puberty Groot.
Right.
Well, that's the next movie.
I thought he was fucking hilarious.
And I'll freely admit, Groot. A lot of my infatuation with Baby Groot is he pretty much acted like my 2-year-old son at this point, and so it was totally just like, oh my fucking god, this is like Liam. He's doing all the stuff that he does, like trying to like point, you're pointing at the wrong button constantly.
Yes.
You tell him to do something, he just always has the wrong.
No,
thing.
This one.
Like,
no,
no, not that one.
Why are you not getting this?
It did. I loved swarthy Kurt Russell, mm-hmm. which is the best version of Kurt Russell.
Loved it.
Just the hair, yeah. Like his just like luxurious mane of silver hair.
Man looks damn good in a beard, I have to say.
He does. Yes, he does.
And I loved that they worked in a giant planet with Kurt Russell's face on it at one point for Ego.
I also love that his name is Ego.
Right.
He's like, I have to, you know, remake the galaxy.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that one coming, did they?
No, not even a little bit.
It had two pet peeves of mine, which is that it did that thing that I hate when sequels do, which is the first movie spends all of its time bringing these disparate people together, and then it ends with them like, we're gonna be a team now.
And then immediately
the comes along,
breaks them up over bullshit minutia.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So like, in a vacuum, I really liked, you know, Rocket and Yondu and their whole, like, their whole subplot and the stuff.
Yondu stole this fucking movie.
He really did.
Yeah, he did.
Michael Rooker, oh my god.
And then he died.
But the whole time I'm just like, I spent a whole movie with you not together. I want you to be a team now.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The whole point.
Which I'm very interested that, spoiler alert, that Yondu dies, because I swear I saw him in the credits for Infinity.
Oh, really? Maybe he's going to be a ghost
or maybe it's like
hallucination or something.
Flashback. Or
they use a stone.
Or they use a
resurrection stone.
My other pet peeve was, like a lot of the more recent Marvel movies, it felt a little like it was 1/3 one act and 2/3 a third act. Like it felt like it was kind of missing that sort of middle chunk.
Yeah. Right?
Like they had their first act, and by the end of the first act, he's meeting Ego and he's off to the planet and we're all in that plot, and he was on, and then they were on the Ego planet for like the rest of the movie. I kept thinking like, oh, they're going to go for the climax. They're going to have to go somewhere and do something.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they're not. We're already in the climax. This is the climax. We've been in it for a while.
Hmm.
But you know, at the end of the day, it's a movie that leaves you hoping that a character will use his godlike power to make Pac-Man armor, and then he does.
I cannot even argue with that a little. I have no argument for that.
I cannot enjoy this movie when I'm like, oh my god, be Pac-Man armor. It's Pac-Man armor!
Yeah.
That was it was pretty epic. Although you hated the movie Pixels.
I never saw Pixels.
Oh, nor did I.
Yeah. I didn't see it because I had already...
It was terrible.
It is.
I had already seen it in the episode of Futurama that they totally ripped off to make that movie.
If you're on like a flight somewhere, it's...
It's a good time waster.
Yes.
I want to see that as the pull quote on the movie. It's like, if you're on a flight sometime, ...
A perfect in-flight movie with nothing better to do.
I did want to see it mainly because of Peter Dinklage.
That was the only saving grace of that entire movie was
Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage is just my goddamn hero.
You're trapped in a flying metal tube and have no choice.
You've already read the Mall magazine, Sky magazine.
Before I finish your book, here you go.
Sky Mall went bankrupt.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sad because I loved Sky Mall.
If you've just been beaten by an airline employee.
Too soon?
No, too soon never. It doesn't exist in our vocabulary.
Ouch.
Anything else?
That's the gist of my guidance. Strong B, I guess.
Yeah, I did not like this. I felt that this was like what Thor was, the first Thor movie, just kind of like a filler movie, and they didn't try very hard. And I had a lot of like, maybe I'm just being too nitpicky, but like you said, it's kind of like it was a first act and a third act with no second act.
A little smidgen of second act.
Right, like you were missing something. I felt they focused on, going with what Kevin was saying, is like I felt they focused on all the little parts that people loved from the first movie, that they focused on all those things and made them big deals in this movie. For instance, the music correlating with what they were doing on screen. They did it like 7 times, and I was annoyed by the third.
And the thing is that they had even said that they filmed a lot of scenes based on the music.
Seriously?
They had the music first, and then they filmed the scenes around the song.
But like what I felt that they did, too, was that they focused on that stupid tape. And like, okay, we get it. Awesome Volume Mix 2. We got it.
Well, that's because
we got that from the title. Thank you, though.
That's because they want to sell a lot of CDs with that picture on the front. Right. And
so that's why I feel like
it's a CD.
Yeah, and so that's why I felt that they did the, like, they focused on the Drax laughing thing too much. Was that because everybody liked it when he laughed in the first one because they didn't like to see him? Oh, you know, but that's who Drax is. He's a fucking killer, so,
yeah,
you know, whatever. He's not Worf, for fuck's sake. Oh, Worf didn't laugh as much as Drax did.
No,
Worf, he has laughed
kind of
zero
the
times.
Of the Guardians, though.
He is. Zoe Saldana's voice, I couldn't for the life of me figure out what was so different about it, but it sounded very, very different. And I thought maybe it was just like the audio, but then everybody else sounded fine. I didn't like how Star-Lord lost his power just because his dad died. Something really cool.
I understand it, though.
I do. Because
otherwise he'd be way too OP for Infinity War.
Yeah, yeah.
I get why they did it, but I just didn't like that it happened. Because it's not like, you know, Superman lost his entire fucking planet, but he still has his powers.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but he doesn't get his power from his planet.
But the planet is his father, and his father is who gave him this power.
Right. Like I said, I understand it, but I didn't. I
also would not doubt that the fact that he is a half-celestial will not factor into future movies in some capacity.
Probably true.
Absolutely will.
In the same way that in the first movie, you know, he can hold the stone not freak out or whatever. It'll come up again, I'm sure.
Yes.
Even if he's not, like, terraforming planets and stuff with his mind.
And I felt like Rocket got his backpack. That was, I felt, total nod to the original Rocket pack. Because he got his rocket pack. And I was like, hey, he's got his rocket on. Yay. Phrasing? I don't know. I felt lackluster about it. And then at the end with the five endings, I'm like, okay, obviously we're going to Infinity War.
A couple of them were just weird fluff, but a couple of them were amazing.
Yeah.
Like the Adam Warlock one, fuck yeah.
Well, the Adam Warlock one was the Marvel Stinger thing.
Here's your real one, and I also really enjoyed the original Guardians, minus Yondu, of course, with Stallone and company.
Yeah.
Loved it, because I actually found out, quick piece of information, I was organizing my comics the other day, and I found out that I have the issue of Avengers with the first appearance of the Guardians of the Galaxy that I had no idea that I had.
Oh, nice.
Really? So there's that.
So that, and I actually hated Sylvester Stallone in this movie. Like, it was...
What are you talking about, Nick?
I know. It's like, hi.
She's 31.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, that's old.
I apologize, too. What's her name? Pax?
Pom Clementif.
Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich.
She also has, the weirdest name I've ever heard. Oh, she's, like, French.
But
Ian looked her up.
I was a little bummed Mantis didn't do the whole third person thing.
Well, French-Canadian.
This one does this, and this one says
right,
that.
And that's what the other thing I didn't like was that it was like, okay, you brought in Sylvester Stallone, and then you brought in Ving Rhames, and then you brought in Michelle Yeoh. I'm like, how many other big names are you going to bring in to this movie?
That was it.
Well, yeah. But I meant,
how many more celebrities can we cram into this movie?
Yeah, I felt it was like Expendables 3. It's like, how many more
action
stars can we cram into this movie? And I didn't like Sylvester Stallone in the movie because it was just Sylvester Stallone being Sylvester Stallone. And they didn't do anything different with his hair.
Sorry, is that different from Sylvester Stallone in any other movie?
I was about to say the same thing.
Like, it was... It like at least with like Rambo, he had long hair, or
slap a wig on Sylvester Stallone and shove him in a movie.
Yep. First of all, this is kind of the Samuel L. Jackson effect, where Samuel L. Jackson doesn't actually play any characters.
No.
He just plays Samuel L. Jackson with a gun, Samuel L. Jackson with a badge, Samuel L. Jackson with a lightsaber,
or an eye patch.
Yeah,
I would put that in with.
But
gun.
For some odd reason, that doesn't bother me as much as Sylvester Stallone does, and I don't ask me why. It's weird.
Why?
I don't.
My
last thing is, what is with Marvel doing all these 80s like throwbacks and that?
Like with Thor Ragnarok, it makes no sense.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Like the 1980s.
I am really
video
curious
game
to see how that works out.
Thing, and then at the end of Guardians, they have the freaking
the credits,
the 70s like
that
late.
70.
That was a weird 70s.
Well, at the end of Guardians, that's because that's the era of his mom.
Yeah,
and his taste in music and like. That's when she grew up and fell in love with all this music, and that's Star-Lord's pop culture touch point for Earth. Like that's
okay,
what he knows.
But why incorporate it into the movie? It bugged me.
They did that in the first one, though. I mean, the first one was rife with all that late 70s.
But not at the end with like the credits rolling and the people
just
dancing
just
and just
Kevin.
So the mainframe computer,
and
had the female voiced computer.
Yes.
I thought the voice sounded kind of familiar.
Meaner Cert?
Miley Cyrus.
Shut up.
What?
That's fantastic.
Are you serious?
I just learned this.
Okay, well.
I don't...
Wow.
Fun fact, she's like 2 weeks younger than I am.
I believe that.
We're the same age.
Miley Cyrus.
You're young.
Well, and the Thor Ragnarok trailer, that's clearly just they're piggybacking on Suicide Squad.
I am really excited for that.
It's not even the trailer, it's just the logo that they have.
Yeah.
See, I didn't feel like it was piggybacking on Suicide Squad. I felt like it was really piggybacking on Guardians.
Oh,
with the crazy logo and the planet of goofy, you know, random aliens.
And when I watched it,
New Age cantina from Star Wars.
Right, and when I watched it in the theater, I felt at the end, I was like, are they going to start into Spaceballs now? Because I feel like I'm watching the beginning of Spaceballs at the end with the... The Star Wipe logo and the...
Boom, ba-da-da-doo. Immigrant
elongated.
Song. Well, I loved the trailer.
I absolutely love the trailer. I'm just so excited.
The logo is super weird.
I don't know why. I want to know why they're doing it.
Have to watch the movie to find out.
Because they're in the 80s.
It takes place in the 80s.
Did anyone actually time travel back to the 80s, people?
Well, there's the time stone.
Well, there is. Doctor Strange is in this.
He is indeed.
He is in Ragnarok.
But why would they go back to the 80s?
Why the fuck not?
Because the 80s are money right now.
Yeah, they are.
Stop.
Because people like us put
nostalgia
money on
whores.
Well, I suppose they did have Pac-Man in those ones.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Although they've made some references in Guardians, especially in the first one where you referenced Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and he was already gone from Earth before Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, he wasn't.
Thing. Wasn't he?
88.
No.
He left in 88?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he left in 85.
No, he was
even if he left
born.
In 85, that would still be after the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Ew.
84 was when...
Well, the comic. Not
the comic,
well,
yeah.
The comic.
But I mean... Well, what? Maybe he was a comic book fan.
He made references to the movie.
Well, the cartoon TV. Show.
Cartoon show, yeah. Sorry.
But no, he left Earth...
Was it 88?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was 85.
It might have even been like 90 or something.
Nah, I don't think it was.
I'm pretty sure it was 1988.
Yeah, but either way,
I watched
the first one
recently.
It was late 80s.
Well.
The whole early 80s was them fucking.
No, really? Was that what that was?
That
was great.
1980.
I'm specifically talking about the beginning of the first Guardians.
Okay.
Movie.
Yeah, that's 1988.
Were they really fucking? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That's how you make a baby, Nick.
I thought it was.
And then it comes out the throat. We've covered this already.
But I've already. I told her to spit. Don't swallow. Sorry, Rob's not here. I had to Rob all over it. You're welcome.
I know he's listening and freaking out right now.
Of course he is.
I mean, not right now, but...
But in the future
point.
Now?
When will then be now? No. Soon.
Jesus. All right. Any final thoughts before we give it a rating?
Not really.
No?
No, I think I've said my piece.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin. So if you guys know our ratings from don't see it at all to see it in the theater.
Full price matinee, cheap theaters, Netflix, Redbox, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And then don't see it
at
all.
I saw it full price, so I guess I can't not say don't do that.
You can.
I guess I could.
This is just our rating scale.
If you loved the first Guardians, see it in the theater full price. If you just thought Guardians was a fun time, it's a matinee. But I definitely think you should see it in the theater.
Agree. Definitely see it in theater. I would say matinee, but I mean, it's a big movie, and it's a big movie you're going to want to experience bigly.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Welcome. Howard the Duck was
in
it.
It's huge.
Again.
Yeah, Howard the Duck was in it. Voiced by Seth Green.
Yeah, surprisingly large large part from this time.
Huh. Oh, yeah, a little bit. I would agree with you, Kevin. I think both of you, you see it in the theater, but I would say matinee.
I'm going to call foursies on that. Either see a matinee or full price. I mean, you can't go wrong with either. It's going to be, especially if you enjoy
it. You're not going to hate it.
Yeah, this is kind of like an unhateable movie.
This isn't that new Ghostbusters movie.
I did like that they confirmed a fan theory. That was very polite of them.
Which one?
That Stanley is a watcher.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch the continuity error in there? Stanley referenced the time that he was
a FedEx
delivery man, which was what he was in Civil War.
Yeah.
But Guardians technically takes place before Civil War.
That's true.
Yeah, I noticed that. It takes place in like 2014.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it starts in 1980 and then it says 34 years later. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
And James Gunn has copped to the error online. He's like, yeah, we screwed that one up.
Also, Sean Gunn is
the first Guardians is before.
Delightful.
Well, it's got to be before Civil War.
Kirk.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like Rogue
One. It's how time works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks. It's how time works.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Talking about the 80s references, so maybe, I don't know. All right, so that's Guardians. Star Trek or Dark Crystal? Where do we want to go?
Star Trek.
Okay, good, because we can go into the Orville after that.
Across the
universe. Orville preview, if you've
seen
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so new Star Trek trailer drop.
Very, very new-timey. Very, very. Yeah. It's another goddamn prequel, which, you know, whatever.
This is what? Is this before Kirk?
Yes.
This is even before...
Before George Kirk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, even before George Kirk.
So what? After Enterprise, though, right?
Yes.
I thought it was before Enterprise.
It's after Enterprise, before Kirk.
Because it's Starfleet. They're Starfleet officers.
Yeah.
So it's got to be after Enterprise.
All right, I suppose. Yes. So, yeah. So it's another prequel. But it's very reboot universe looking, which, I mean, is fine. It's just...
It's what it is now.
Like, I really was hoping that the new Star Trek series would be post-Voyager. I really want to know what happens.
Right.
And we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing that gives us post-Voyager except for Star Trek Nemesis. Yay.
Admiral Janeway.
Yay.
It's funny because it's true. The Klingons look good. They look like a good...
Goodly. They looked goodly.
Goodly. They look like a culmination of the old original series Vulcans.
Foreheadless Klingons?
Yes. To the
wrinkleless Klingons.
To the precursor of Generations...
Well, they look a lot like the Klingons in Into Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This, you know, without the piercings going down the ridges, but they look like an intergalactic biker gang, which I like way better. Like, and I've argued endlessly with Graham about this. I actually like them as, like, this kind of, you know, meaty biker gang sort of thing, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, a bunch of aliens who quote Shakespeare for no reason from a planet that they don't hail from. Why is that a thing?
I was thinking of Star Trek VI, Worf was doing their...
Yeah.
His father, grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever the fuck it was.
Well, I was bitching about Star Trek 4. Stop quoting Shakespeare. You would not know him. You wouldn't.
Well,
Stop it.
They quote Shakespeare in Star Trek 6 as well when they're at dinner.
Yeah.
You can't enjoy Shakespeare.
I'm pretty sure they quote Shakespeare in like every Star Trek movie. At least of the old ones.
Yeah,
specifically
the Klingons.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you can't enjoy Shakespeare unless you read
it. Well, and Khan in Star Trek 2.
Yeah.
The original Klingon.
Right. Somebody asked me if we do our podcast in Klingon. I'm like, no.
I'm not going to learn a whole new language.
Yeah.
This is America, damn it.
A fucking Patak would ask that.
Although I did see...
Thank you.
A Klingon Christmas Carol at... I can't remember. It was a theater in St. Paul, like a small theater in St. Paul, and it was fucking delightful.
Sounds awful.
It was kind of awful.
The one that's like off of like 6, and it's like...
I have no idea. I think it starts with an M, and it's a really, really funky old theater.
Oh, not the McKnight Theater.
No.
Just connected to Oregon.
No. But yeah, it was...
That's awesome.
So it's a Christmas Carol, but it's Scooja. It was Scrooge.
Is it all in Klingon?
Scooja. It was just...
I would hope not, because then you'd have no idea what was going on.
At the opera, they had the translation behind that.
So it was entirely in Klingon?
It was entirely in Klingon.
That sounds
fucking
horrible.
Minus,
as an actor.
Well, so minus the bit where they had like, so apparently the audience was reading it as part of a Vulcan University anthropology class.
Adorable.
Oh my God.
And so like every once in a while a Vulcan would come out and she would just, you know, like kind of narrate
break
it down, kind of narrate what was going on.
Trick, she does it in Vulcan.
Do they wear all Klingon outfits?
Yes.
Oh my God,
beautiful.
It was
we did see a Vulcan.
It was awful.
A Klingon Harley Quinn.
Yes.
But it was a male Klingon Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
He was Harley
Kling.
Klingon.
Harley Kling.
Yeah.
But there's no levels to that.
It was kind of hilarious, I'm not gonna lie.
So many, and he was delightful to talk to.
He was on a new level.
He was. So anyway, Star Trek Discovery.
Captain and Commander, both women, neither whites. I'm very
cool.
I'm in love with that.
Yeah.
Hashtag feminism.
My body is ready.
Isn't she from Orange is the New Black? The Commander is the girl from that just died in Orange is the New Black.
Samira Wiley.
Yes, is that her?
Was that Pussy?
I don't know.
I thought it was.
That's Samira Wiley is Pussy. Pussy. I can never pronounce her name right.
I'm on it.
So
I love Samira Wiley, by the way.
I think the trailer looks like I actually want to watch this show. Like, it made me very curious. And, like, even the beginning where they're walking the planet, she's like, we don't have a map. We don't have everything. Where are we going? And then she's like, oh, it's time for you to be in command. And
da, 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 da.
Right.
Oh, by the way, the top billing for the IMDb for it is three men. So that's pretty hilarious.
How about...
Way to go, IMDb.
Trick, it's not hilarious.
No. Trick, it's terrible.
Oh, no, she's Sasha in Walking Dead.
That's who.
Oh, that's right.
So she's
yeah.
the girl who just died in Walking Dead.
So,
not the girl who just died in Orange is the New Black.
That explains alert. Why they...
Spoilers.
That explains why
I haven't gotten there yet, Kevin. Thanks.
When she was on that episode of The Talking Dead, she's like, yeah, you know, I'm
We're
moving on to...
Spoiler-ass show, Megan.
Well, some really awesome things, and I got something awesome, and she couldn't talk about it, so that makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we know what that awesome thing is.
I'm, like, not that invested in Walking
and
Dead
still,
anymore.
And still,
I
Sasha...
Get back into it. This last season was goddamn phenomenal.
My goodness,
this last season,
I know.
Was super
I know.
Good.
There's a bit with Daryl and a tiger, but mainly because Norman Reedus
Sasha.
Is on my list.
Daryl and a tiger.
My enthusiasm for Discovery is still dulled somewhat by CBS's asinine launch
like,
approach.
Oh, yeah.
Like
this
whole,
is
what?
So stupid. It's only going to be on
their stupid
on their
streaming
service that nobody gives a damn about.
Right.
Oh.
Netflix is getting it everywhere, but Canada and the United States of America.
Yeah.
So just
CBS
a
is trying to
big throbbing middle finger
yeah, absolutely.
To all the U.S. Canada Star Trek fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Stupid.
Totally and I'm
stupid.
Not in...
It's an infinity middle finger. Hashtag visual gag on an audio podcast.
I am not opposed in theory to like paying for a new streaming service just to get something that I want, but the fact that it's like CBS just seems like an especially dick move.
Yeah,
because they're a broadcast network.
Right.
You guys
right.
make millions in sponsors.
You guys could
shit.
Literally
right.
put this on any hour of the day and get people to watch it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Like
absolutely.
You have the technology. Why are you being dickbags about it?
I must
about
be
it?
Worried because it's going to be tied then to like nebulous. Online streaming numbers that CBS, the old people network, just aren't going to understand. And so
they're not. And I mean,
you're going to get like one season and then they're going to be like, computer be dumb. And no more Star Trek.
And isn't it going to all come out at once? Like, I don't want that. I want something episodic where I have to, you know,
wait
piss myself
week.
Waiting for
right,
it.
Right, right.
So the whole season is going to be launched at once.
I assume. I honestly, I don't know. But I mean, that's the model
probably.
For streaming shows. Is
yeah.
Not The Lair. We're doing it episode by episode, once a week, just like
every
they used
Saturday.
To
tune in, except you can't tune in because
nice,
it's on the internet.
So tube in.
Tube
right?
in.
But it's actually Saturday mornings too. So.
Yeah.
Saturday perfect. Morning cartoons. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, basically.
Almost.
Well, we're basically a live action Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
It's just
yeah,
my life.
Just with more cursing.
A lot more cursing. And the cursing that you don't get because we had to edit out because Kevin told us to stop saying fuck.
I didn't say stop saying fuck. You just have to be like, I want
There's
the word
ground,
I
right?
want the word fuck to be this wonderful,
like
you know, well delivered, just
he
delicious
wants
little morsel. Not
it's
not
it's the lady you take to dinner, not the lady
yeah.
you fuck.
Like I definitely like we have fucks in the show, but I want them
do.
To.
We've written
know.
Fucks into the show.
Matrix hasn't said fuck
like,
yet.
Do all the shits and balls and. Titties and blow me's whatever, but fuck, I just want to keep to a.
on a side note, if you haven't caught up on American Gods, I'm not going to spoil anything by this, but talk about Free the Pea. Holy shit!
What?
Oh,
what?
Oh, there is
You'll
so much
out
dick.
There apparently just so many dicks.
That's in the next.
We'll find that out tomorrow
yeah.
night.
Please,
yeah.
Ricky Whittle.
I'm just all I'm saying is there will be a lot. Be prepared for a lot of dick.
Yeah,
and
they,
not tiny dick.
Yeah, and like. Big.
Baby arm.
And
some of which I've heard is CGI enhanced dick.
Fine, but it's yeah. they're very like they're that's a dick.
And like
I
you know whenever
know the
Game
context,
of Thrones,
but I also don't.
Whenever Game of Thrones shows a dick, it's usually flaccid and this.
Yeah,
little waving,
it's all
wafting,
sad.
And this they're these fucking huge hard just. Yeah, it's a dick.
Yeah, I just caught up on the episodes and absolutely.
Well, I am excited.
Or you know that's what I feel.
Anyways, back to back to Star Trek. Speaking of dick,
what we went on a tangent.
What
drink?
I have water.
Yeah, that's kind of shitty of CBS to do because it's fucking stupid. I hope they discover the error in their ways and just release it to everybody instead of their stupid streaming service. Because all it's going to do is boost their streaming service for a couple weeks
yeah.
because people are just going to binge it and then...
Maybe.
And like, then move on.
That's where I'm like, Star Trek is in this weird place where I don't even know that it could support the launch of a streaming service.
I don't think it could, especially because it's a prequel again. And yeah. I did not give a shit about Enterprise. I tried, but I couldn't give a shit.
And I mean, the Star Trek fans, the diehards, will tune in. I mean, they'll pay the streaming service. Yeah. If there was enough of them to keep it going, Enterprise would have lasted longer, and it would still be on TV.
I'm not sure about that, right. because Graham, who frequently listens to our podcast, of course, is a diehard Star Trek fan, and he is not interested.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people out there that like Star Trek, but it's segued in the movies, and for better or worse, there's a lot of people that's what they think of now, and I don't know that they're going to tune into a streaming-only TV show.
Yeah,
they're not.
And then that makes you worry, too, that it's like, the streaming service may just not take off, and then the show is going to go down with it.
They have this great idea that's going to fail because of just bad ideas all around.
But then again, they've been dragging their feet on it for so long.
Oh, my God.
By the time it actually comes out, it might be on TV because they'll have given up on the whole streaming thing.
Right. Please, God.
You're right. And which is really sad because it's the 40th, right? Yeah.
50th.
Last year 50th. Was the 50th.
Yeah. Or 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and they just like...
Oh, it would have been... Last year would have been the fucking time to put this out.
Right. Would have been the perfect time.
Come on, guys.
Shh. Don't bring sense of logic into this discussion. Yeah.
And that's a big number. CBS should understand that.
And they did nothing for the anniversary. Like, we got the movie, and it was a shockingly good movie, which we all agree was the best of the three new ones, but it wasn't enough. They didn't make it... They could have made a much bigger deal out of...
What
was
that TV special?
What was the 50th anniversary to a beloved, a very, very much pop, like, ingrained in our culture TV show? Why do you think our flip phones look like what they do? Well, it's because it's a goddamn Star Trek communicator.
Yeah.
I can never get my flip phone to make that noise. They never had a noise.
They never did.
And it pissed me off.
I got an app when I first got a smartphone. I got an app that had all those sounds, and it was a communicator for a while. But it wasn't a flip phone.
I
was like, well,
when you get a text, it'll be the Star Trek.
Yeah.
Or if you get a voicemail, it's an incoming message, Captain, or whatever.
Awesome.
My voicemail is Lando saying, "Well, well, well, what have we here?"
Awesome.
I'm so excited for Dong Lover as Lando.
I know, right? It's like my favorite thing about that movie. Like, I'm very dubious about everything else, but I'm like, Dong Glover as Lando!
Oh, yeah. Dong Glover. I heard something weird.
It's because he...
D-O-N-G-L-O-V-E-R.
It's Dong Lover, and that's what he pointed that out. He pointed that out on a late night talk show. He's like, I realized that my name is Dong Lover. I'm an adult. I pay bills.
Childish Gambino.
Have you seen the preview for The Orville, which is a Seth MacFarlane?
I know of
Seth MacFarlane, Galaxy Quest.
Ask Star Trek-esque. But it's
just,
he's playing the captain, that like the everyday man captain, not like a smart, intelligent Kirk.
So the Seth MacFarlane character.
It's
Seth MacFarlane being Seth MacFarlane as a captain.
You guys can't see it, but I'm rolling my eyes
so hard right now.
And he has, of course, he has everybody that's in Family Guy on the show.
Of course he does.
Right.
You know what? I'm interested. I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to check it out.
I'm going to give it a chance.
I am one of the few in my generation who just... is not a huge Seth MacFarlane fan, and I'm not. I don't know. I probably won't.
But I'm not. Like, I like the first Ted movie. I hated the second one. I didn't like Thousand Ways to Die in the West.
I liked Thousand Ways to Die in the West. There were two moments that I really loved, and the rest of it I could give a shit about.
See, I mean, Crystal, there were certainly funny parts.
Crystal hates those kind of movies. She hates dumb comedy, but she fucking loves that movie.
I'm sorry, the daisy between Liam Neeson's butt cheeks was fucking gold.
That was great.
That guy is an Oscar winner.
And there's a daisy between his ass cheeks.
And that's why it's funny. And then Lucky Charm.
He played Oscar fucking Schindler, okay?
Yeah, sure did.
He was on Schindler's List.
He was also in Rob Roy, which was Oscar. It wasn't an Oscar winner, wasn't it?
Rob Roy?
It was probably nominated.
Oh. I thought Rob Roy was a...
But he was Rob Roy.
Yeah, if you want to know anything about Oscars, fucking ask Oscar.
Yeah, kind of an Oscar nerd too.
A huge Oscar nerd. You can tell you all the...
I watch Family Guy out of like inertia more than anything. It's on my DVR and I put it on and I'm like, that was humorous, and then I move on.
They kind of fell into The Simpsons.
Yeah. They totally did. American Dad is still pretty great, but I don't know how much involved with that Seth MacFarlane really is anymore. I saw Ted. Ted 2 didn't see it. It's on the DVR. I haven't gotten around to it. But I love Seth MacFarlane, the wishes he was born in the 40s and could sing with Frank Sinatra version.
Yes.
And so I'm kind of hoping that maybe...
He's ridiculously talented.
Because Orville is him as, like, an actor and not a, like, voice guy and not a, an animator, that maybe...
Well, but Million Ways to Die in the West was was him as that, again, the again, everyday, normal...
And again, I like
live
it.
In the
like,
West.
We're just... He was constantly bitching about how horrible it was to be alive back then. For some reason, it just spoke to me. I couldn't even tell you why. I loved it.
Yeah, it's just very much Seth MacFarlane's like, the normal everyday man character. And
as far as his singing career goes, his ability to sing perfectly in key.
Oh my God, no,
with himself in different voices.
That's
really fucking difficult.
I'm not saying he's not talented. He's redonkulously talented. Probably one of the most talented people.
He just happens to also be annoying.
He just happens to be really fucking annoying to me.
Yeah. They did like a Family Guy Live in Vegas CD a while back, and there's a track that's Stewie and Brian singing a medley of 80s theme songs, and it might be one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time.
Oh my God.
Like just the whole like medley of it and the
to find this now.
Character.
Like the Barry Manilow kind of medley type thing.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God,
and they
I
do
this
Silver
my life.
Spoons and Growing Pains and Perfect Strangers. And
oh
like,
my God.
It's like 9 minutes long. They do a little banter in between each one. To
I
like
need this in my life right now.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it's again, it's Seth MacFarlane.
Oh,
like,
show me that smile. With himself, yeah.
That's gotta be yeah.
It's great. It's great.
I want this in my life now. What's it called? It's Seth MacFarlane.
It's the Family Guy Live in Las Vegas.
It's
Family
the
Guy
CD, oh, yeah.
is the CD,
it's
but CD, the okay. the track I'm sure it'll be easy to find. Yeah.
I'm sure
obvious.
It will be. I was just thinking either by the track or just by the whole album. Is the whole album good or is it just that one song?
Yeah. It's a novelty CD. It's like Simpsons Sing the Blues.
Okay.
So it's them in character, Brian and Stewie doing like jazz, big
but
band. I mean, it's
Simpsons Sing the Blues was a good CD.
Kind of.
Yeah, it was a
maybe
CD.
Okay. Maybe it was more. Maybe it's more nostalgic for me because it was like my first CD.
Yeah, me too. Like it was the first tape I ever had. But yeah,
also
my
the
first
new
CD.
First CD I ever bought was the Aladdin soundtrack.
Hot stuff.
I had that on tape.
The first CD I ever bought was like, oh God, what was it?
I bought it on CD because I wasn't poor.
I think it was the Rugrats in Paris theme song or Rugrats in Paris soundtrack. I was like. 7 or 8, maybe 9.
Oh God! Was it high school when that came out? I'm pretty sure it was.
According to my iTunes, it is Family Guy Live in Vegas, track 9, TV medley, explicit.
Ooh, explicit, nice. Even better.
I'm looking at the other songs, but like, I don't know anything about them. But TV medley, fantastic.
I'll have to get that song. I probably will download it after we finish this podcast. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna go right to iTunes. So the Orville, it looks interesting. I'll check it out. Yeah,
see.
I'm not super excited about it. If I miss it, I miss it. And then I guess if we're kind of done with that, The Dark Crystal. Anybody seen that thing?
I'll tap out on this one.
Yeah.
Really?
I haven't seen it.
I flipped through it on Facebook. I didn't really pay attention to it.
I don't know.
It's not like it really gave you much. It gave you like a quick glimpse
at the
end.
I was
going to
say, wasn't it like a clip of Jim Henson talking about the original?
Yeah, and I don't give a shit about Dark Crystal. And we've talked about this.
Yes,
and Rob, and I will thank Rob for eternity for putting into words what I, for some reason, just could not put my finger on what I didn't like about it. And his him saying that it's the only live-action movie to not have any humans really kind of disconnects you from really having an emotional I didn't want to say connection again because of redundancy
attachment.
But whatever to really connect yourself to these characters and it's absolutely 100% true. I could never get into it and I also think that's because I didn't see it until I was already basically an adult
and I saw it as a kid and it scared the shit out of me those stupid what the fuck they're called
Mila Jovovich's
I have no idea what they're called.
Skeksis. Whatever they were, they're fucking scary. And that chick with the witch with the one eye, that scared the shit out of me too. But I guess for me it was one of those, I was more amazed as a child that these were puppets. And not only puppets, but like you put a puppet on top of another human being that's dressed as a puppet and they're running through the thing. And those were, the wonderment of how they made it was, I think, I was more attracted to than the actual movie itself. You know,
Avatar.
Just visually. I was a weird kid. Was a very
yeah, I if I've seen Dark Crystal at all, it was like once when I was 5 or 6, that was it. Like I think I remember being freaked out by it, but not by the vulture thingies. I was just freaked out by the main characters and their weird long face, elven, dead eyed look.
Oh yeah,
And so I just never, like, all those movies that I watched, like, over and over again as a kid and, like, grew up with, and I've also said Dark Crystal was just never one of them.
So, yeah, and I have so many
no more Dark Crystal, whatevs.
So many friends who are just in love with it, and yeah, I was like, yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm in love with it, but I definitely, it was one of those, I think, like, for me, it was more the wonderment of the fact that it was, A, Jim Henson, and it was a fucked up Jim Henson. It wasn't, it's not the Muppets.
It is super fucked up.
It's not the Muppets, it's not Sesame Street, but it's,
yeah,
like
dark Muppets.
Yeah.
Things like Coke Trip, that's for sure.
Right? But I don't know. It was just one of those things. So anyways, so Netflix is apparently going to reboot it, redo something with
it. It's a prequel.
A prequel. And kind of do the same, I guess, puppety thing with
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
So,
I
yeah.
will flip past it while I'm trying to I'll find something else to
watch. You will see it in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen as a recommended for you
yep.
while you're scrolling through finding something
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
Right. Anything else that the nerd... any. Oh, we're obviously at the comic convention. Any good nerd grabs so far?
Yes. I mean, besides 1,000 comics.
I was going to say, like, all the comics that Mind's Eye donated to us.
Thanks, Mind's Eye.
But I also bought a few as well. I picked up issue 1 of the new Marvel Angela series, and I got the 2 issues of Emma Frost that I was missing, which I'm very happy to finally have.
Like the 2000 era mm-hmm. Emma Frost? Nice.
Yes,
nice.
I was missing 14 and 16, and they had 14 and 16. I'm like, yes! So I picked those bad boys up, and I'm actually
going to... That's such a great feeling when you find those in the short pockets.
I'm going to bring my list tomorrow and see what else I can kind of come up with. And then I got like 3-4 different action figures, because I'm a total, you know...
Right.
Toy nerd, but I got Graham brought me Colossus and Cyclops, the Jim Lee Cyclops, the 90s outfit. I got the 3.5-inch Commander Doom from from Clone Wars, because as everyone knows, I'm a big Doctor Doom fan, and the fact that there's a clone trooper homage to the character.
Yeah.
Well, he has green and silver armor.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
With basically his helmet looks like a hood. The mm-hmm. faceplate mm-hmm. is actually like a metallic silver.
That's
he's
cool.
very much an homage to Dr.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah, awesome.
Because he has like yellow trim and a brown belt. Yeah, he's such a hilarious character that he's actually, you know, a Dr. Doom in the Star Wars universe. And then I just picked up a cyborg figure from my Justice League I'm putting together. So I'm pretty happy with that.
I haven't bought anything yet. I've walked around, but I didn't really look. But there's an artist that's sitting down from where we are that I like a lot of his, just like Star Trek photos or whatever he's painted. But they're blacked out. They're kind of like silhouette-y, but the uniforms are like in color, or mm-hmm. there's some part of it that's in color, but the rest of it's kind of silhouette-y. It looks really nice. It looks really cool. I might go check those out and pick up one of those. But other than that.
I have not bought anything yet. This is seriously this is the longest I have gone at a con not buying anything. I've just been too busy running around.
I'm also kind of surprised.
I haven't had a chance to look for anything yet.
I'm also kind of surprised that you still buy stuff at cons, considering you've been going to these for 20 some years.
Well, because I'm trying to put together a full run of Avengers and X-Men. And Iron Man, I guess, too.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah. Well, and when I say a full run, like. Because it's like I don't need to read these because I can read them online. I have all this stuff in like 1,000 different forms.
It's just to have.
It's
like absolutely.
I just try to find a not terribly beat like a copy that'll hold together if I was to read through it. But like they're not mint. They're reader copies. They're fine to good. I usually don't try to spend more than like $10 or $15 an issue if I can help it. And that's getting a little bit harder as I'm getting into some of the older stuff, but those are the 3 things when I'm at a con that I usually try to fill out. And then I buy so many trades nowadays, and graphic novels and stuff, but fewer and fewer dealers have been bringing in half price trades and stuff like that.
Huh.
So I haven't loaded up on a lot of those at the shows lately. So need to get some Star Wars Black figures. I see some people, some nerds with those.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a fucking Darth Revan. I can't find him anywhere.
Yeah, and I've never even seen one, like, physically in person.
Me either.
Like, the internet says it exists, but...
You know, with the millions of comics you have, Austin, your son, when he gets older and wants to sell them off, he'll have a good, what, $500?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, at least.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody's always like, oh, you had so many comics, you could probably sell them and make so much money. I'm like, yeah, but I buy cheap copies to have. Like, I can't turn
these
around
aren't collector's editions
or anything. It's all either that stuff or, like, new stuff that I bought off the shelf since, like, you know, 96 or 97, which also has no value because yeah. they're all new comics.
Right, and I have a few that are worth a couple of bucks, but nothing crazy. Gems, like I have, like, the Oreo reprint of Detective Comics number 27, which obviously is not worth the original,
right,
but it's still worth you know,
something. Yeah,
yeah. Still worth a little bit. I have, I'm obsessed with Fathom, Michael Turner's Fathom.
Oh, yeah.
I have issue 8 of the first run, which is the one where she's crying on the cover that Michael Turner signed. I have a Jim Lee signed issue of X-Men 1.
Oh, I'm jealous. Now.
Yeah.
Look at you go.
And then I have the entire original Secret Wars.
Yeah, the 80s one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a giant size X-Men number 1. That's the jewel of my collection, but it's also not in the best shape, but it's held together. Right.
The jewel of my collection is the one that I got here a couple years ago, which was the Superman Death Issue, unopened, original, first print. And I bought it for $25, and even you and I both agreed, we're like, that was a little much for that one. But then the artist who created it was here, signed it. I'm like, totally worth the $25 now. And signed it for
Dan
free.
Jurgens Dan Jurgens is
totally.
Yeah.
Trying
He's
to put together.
Local and a longtime supporter of the show, and he comes every
awesome.
Year. And
yeah, and so then I was like, no, it's totally worth $25. So.
Well, yeah, I got a story out of it. I mean, that's what makes the difference.
And a great story.
There are a bunch of artists peddling their books that look really cool. There's one that's like, it's almost like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Mm-hmm. But it's just like journeys with these beasts, like basilisks to... Huh. He's a couple rows over from us, and I really want that book. It's like $15. I also were lucky enough to be across from Chris Jones.
Yes.
Yes.
I want that 50 Shades of Grayson.
Oh, yeah.
I want it.
It's very popular right now.
I want it. I've read excerpts from 50 Shades of Grey, and they are the worst things. I've read better fan fiction. I've read better shitty fan fiction. But I think I would thoroughly enjoy 50 Shades of Grayson.
And actually, I've talked to Chris Jones about commissioning him to draw the members of the Fist.
Yes.
So he said he will try and find some time in his schedule to
that
do that.
Would be
for
amazing.
Us. We just need to get a couple of good shots of us in our suits.
Okay, awesome. I need a better
suit. I know.
Yeah,
me
I need
too.
I need to upgrade my. Well, in just in case for people,
and that's what I told him. Like, we're probably gonna want to upgrade our super
our
suits.
Gear.
And then
I'm already looking to upgrade.
And then once we do, I'll.
I need
him some pics
I need a better bodice. I think the jacket is fine. I think the
you
leggings
do need
are
a,
fine.
You need a better corset.
I do need a better corset because it's just it's a piece of shit.
And just for people that don't know what the Fist is, that's our super villain group in the
Lair.
People that are listening for the first time.
Which is a clever homage to both the hand and the foot.
Yes.
Fist.
Love it. Anything
homage
else?
To the foot, which was an homage to the hand.
And now we have the Fist. Anything else? Anybody else things to bring up, talk about? Any nerd things? This might be like our like one of our shortest podcasts. It might actually just be an hour.
Because I'm fucking freezing up here.
Well, it's a little chilly.
It is a cold, dreary day at the State Fair.
Yes.
There was one other thing, but I'm totally blank. Oh, yes, one more thing. DuckTales.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, is coming back.
And did you see who's playing Gizmo?
I sure as shit did.
It's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And David Tennant is Scrooge McDuck.
I know.
This is going to be a very, very nerdy reboot of fucking DuckTales.
Yeah. I am
it's gonna
super
be,
excited.
It's going to be brilliant.
I'm going to watch it again. I don't care. I want to watch
it. Fantastic.
I'm so
excited that it's coming back, like, just in time for my son to kind of, like, be aware of it and be part. Because I have, like, a bunch of the old ones on DVD.
Right.
And
wow.
I was planning on getting them going on those, but now I'll have something new.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, next podcast, we'll have Wonder Woman for you. If you can see it that weekend, do try, because I'm going to want to talk about it.
What?
It comes out on the first.
I hear good things.
I
want
to.
Oh, yeah.
Early reception has been good.
Really?
So.
Early reception has been, this is the best DCEU movie.
Okay.
But that's that's clearing a low bar.
I was
going to
say.
People say that, I'm like, oh, okay, but is that just, like, not terrible?
It's just
like,
better than Suicide Squad?
Did it hinge over it just to barely get over the bar?
But even that aside, I have heard.
Are we setting world records?
And then I'm going to want to talk about Pirates also, because that comes out this upcoming weekend.
Does it? Oh.
Which I'm going to go see.
And Alien Covenant is this weekend.
Yeah, it's
a thing. Yeah, just opened. And I
Pirates is next Friday. Yep. Alien Covenant was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
Yeah.
I'll go see it. I like the alien movies. I mean, Prometheus was a steaming pile of crap. Yeah.
And that's what's preventing me, because I was so excited about Prometheus.
I was too.
That was terrible.
I've heard Michael F. Asbender is just out of this world good
and
in Covenant.
He was the best part of Prometheus.
Really the only reason to watch
and
it.
Yeah. One of the only movies that I would ever recommend actually seeing in 3D was Prometheus because of the
yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was
that opening shot with the...
Yeah. That and the table when they have like low cuts of the computerized mapping table.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool. So anyways, it'll be us... That'll be it for... God damn it. Good thing I can edit this shit.
Yay!
Take two. I'll fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
That's been Best Threesome Ever. Brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics and Egan. I'm Nick.
I'm Austin.
I'm Rob's substitute, Megan.
I'm still Kevin.
And we will see you next time.
Yay. I won't.
Theme song.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.